This is an old friend of mine that I've been blessed to get to know over the years, and he is a true, powerful spirit, a kind heart, and somebody that I hope you will give your full attention. Please welcome Luis Fernando Mises.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Hello, everyone. Awesome. So good to be here. My brother lived in Morelia, and I was telling him that, well, he can see my location. We share locations with the iPhone. He said, you haven't been to Morelia in about 30 years. And the last time I came, I also came via bus because my flight got canceled. So I got to Mexico City, and I had to improvise. My girlfriend was like, you already looked for buses, plans, or something? I said, nah. The Lord provides. Sure enough, you know, found a way. One of my friends, I bought a backpacking backpack for him, and he came to pick it up at the airport, and he took me to the other bus station, because apparently the one at the airport doesn't go to Morelia. So it was a midnight flight. I got here around 4:30 a.m., not a lot of sleep, so excuse my eyes looking a little gray today, but I'm happy to be here. As Derek was saying, we've been friends for, I don't know, probably 12, 13 years. It's been a wonderful long time that we've been connected. Every time that they go to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I host them. They're beautiful people. Speaking about manifesting, how many of you guys, I'm sure at least half of them, have seen the movie The Secret? Oh yeah, about half. I thought so. So I got really inspired when I watched that. I first actually read the book, I didn't know it was a movie. Then I watched the movie, and then I did a lot of research. And I found out that out of like the 12 people there, only three were legit. One of them was Bill Harris. So I connected with him, and I started basically apprenticing under him, I don't know, for like 4 years. And then he passed away. But that's one of the things that he taught, manifesting. And he was really scientific about it. There was no woo, just like Derek was mentioning. I think it's extremely unfair to tell people just think happy thoughts or just create an image in your mind and suddenly you're gonna get a check in the mail or something like that. That's terrible. There's 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. It takes actually a lot of work. I do have a PowerPoint that we're gonna present. Well, I first started as a yoga instructor, 2008, perhaps. And my teacher, one of my teachers there, he's the one that introduced me to teaching plants. So Mike, wherever he is in Peru, he retired. He was actually making games for the iPhone. If you remember the Dozer, he made that one. So breathwork. Let me invite you to just pay attention to your breath. Just pay attention to it real quick. So notice, how is it? Most times, most people just breathe up here. That's normal, but that's actually not the way we're intended to breathe. So I'm gonna ask you to do three long, deep breaths with me. What do you notice different now? Notice again. A lot of you I know are seasoned healers and workers. Somebody tell me, what's the difference between 5 minutes ago and now?
More relaxed.
More relaxed, yes. What else?
Easier.
Easier, yes. What else?
Centered.
I'm sorry?
Centered.
Centered, yes, it grounds you. This is really powerful, and I will tell you, Mike, when he introduced me to teaching plants, we were doing ayahuasca in San Pedro in his house in Dallas, And at some point, we got connected with some shamans from Peru. And it was significantly cheaper to fly them into Dallas rather than 20 of us heading to Peru. So we would do that, I don't know, a couple times a year. And one of those times, these are my two shamanic teachers, Don Jose, the one with the mandolin or whatever that is. He said, you know, for the new people, ayahuasca takes maybe 4-5 hours, perhaps the rest of your life. And people laughed. But I felt nervous because I actually knew what he meant. And for all of you who've done ayahuasca, you know exactly that. It stays with you. And it's not a creepy staying with you. It's a presence where you can actually see more a lot of the time if you continue to do the work. So one of those times, he said, if the ceremony gets too intense, just breathe. You will notice that you're here, that you're safe, that you're okay. So that's a really fantastic piece of advice that I take everywhere with me. And you've noticed when you have problems, you feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. Sometimes what I do is I just go outside and I breathe. And I see the sky is blue, and I see the sun is shining, the grass is growing. Life is actually not so bad. All of those problems only exist in here. So we're feeding them by giving them our attention. So as we breathe, we're able to center, and we come back to the original state. So finding another way, one of the things that Bill Harris taught me was to trust my unconscious mind. What does that even mean? Whenever you're thinking, that's a pattern, right? That's a linear way. But he says you have to ask your mind questions. And if you are going in that direction, it will actually answer to you in a specific way. And it gets clearer and stronger and louder the more that you actually listen to it. So I was doing shamanic ceremonies for people, but some people that really wanted to do them, they were afraid of the legal consequences of taking ayahuasca, mushrooms, or San Pedro, which are the three plants that I work with. So I asked my unconscious mind, I need help. I want to be able to give people ayahuasca without ayahuasca, San Pedro without San Pedro, and that sounds stupid, right? But then I found breathwork, or rather, breathwork found me. I was at an Acapulco speaking probably 4 years ago, and after my speech, there was Sean Stone speaking about his experience in Hollywood as a libertarian. Sean Stone is the son of Oliver Stone, everybody knows him. So at some point at the end of his presentation, he says, hey, me and my girlfriend Kaya, we're gonna do breathwork on the beach if you wanna join us. I'm like, who doesn't wanna hang out with Sean Stone? So I go, and you see there's a bunch of us, and we're laying on the grass, and we start breathing, and I'm just annoyed as hell because it's too hot. The ants are biting me. Why am I doing here? Why did I pay? This is dumb. I should just go to my room. I'm hungry. Whatever the monkey mind does best. But I know after a good dozen years of working with this that I should just keep doing the work, even though the monkey mind is trying to keep me safe. And as you know, the ego, that's its job. You cannot kill the ego because it's a concept. It doesn't even exist. So what is keeping you safe means keeping you in what you already know. That's why a lot of people go back to toxicity, because that's what they know. So as I'm doing the breath work and I'm having the monkey mind do its thing, at some point I break through and the breath work starts doing me instead of me doing the breath work. And I connect with a legion of interdimensional beings and I start crying, because I moved to the United States when I was 16. I lost all my friends, my dad died, and we lost, like, his business partner stole all the goods and whatever. So, you know, we ended up in a trailer park in Arlington, Texas, after, you know, having gone to, like, preppy schools all my life. And, you know, it was like a really big slap on the face. New country, new everything. So that, as I'm doing the breathwork and I hear these voices, I felt a long-lost connection that I had regained. So, and I mentioned this even though I have a friend that told me that he feels put off by that story. I bring it up because as, I want to say anarchists or finders of other ways, a lot of times we feel lonely. We feel like our friends don't see us as well. They don't understand us in the same fashion. So to connect with something somewhere else was really powerful, you know? So I want to share that. Now, at the same time, I want to share the other side of the spectrum, because I don't want you to expect to see aliens when you do breath work with me on Friday. I have a friend, and I'm not going to say his name, but he has cerebral palsy. I got him to do breath work in my house. And after we were done, he said, Luis, I didn't see any aliens. I didn't see anything at all. But I actually feel muscles in my body that I've never felt before. Damn. You know, so what to expect? You can be crazy like Luis and see ancient aliens, or the other side and just be purely physical healing. And I'm not supposed to say physical healing because they're gonna throw me in jail. But you know what I'm talking about. So after this, I decided that I had found, or it had found me. This is ayahuasca without ayahuasca. So I did a that's ADD, you know, time is kind of a blur for me. 6 to 8 months of online training. And then I went to California for a week-long practicum. We went to the house of Sean Stone and his girlfriend Kaya in Montecitos, and we were doing breathwork 2 to 3 times a day for a week. Man, that was tough. How many lifetimes? Who knows? But it was really powerful. And they do that so we can actually understand and learn and go really deep. So when we do breathwork, a lot of times I say, go back. In shamanic plant medicine, we tell people, kind of keep to yourself, you know, do your stuff, but there's other people, be mindful, don't be screaming, whatever. On breath work, we actually say the opposite. Whatever needs to come out, let it out. So there were times in Montecitos when I was laughing nonstop for 10 minutes. And I don't know why. I was releasing stuff. So all of this, what that is somatic unwinding. There is this cycle of stress. And if we don't finish that cycle of stress, it stays stuck in our body. And if it stays stuck in our body, that's where you feel the armoring, as I call it. Some people feel it on their shoulders. Some people feel it on their belly. They can't breathe very well. Their legs, whatever it is that you struggle with, that is the armoring that you're keeping by not doing the full cycle of stress. So breathwork allows us to release all of that. And then you're back to yourself, you can breathe better. Sometimes people say, well, actually I feel a little bit worse. And what that means is you've numbed yourself so long that now you're no longer numb and you can feel the shit, so you can work through it. You feel me? So as I did my practicum, I started traveling and doing a lot of this because and a lot of you will understand, this lifestyle, you don't choose it. It chooses you. And it's not like you're a puppet without agency, because I want to be part of it. But it is something that you just don't know. And you end up in places that are incredible, helping people. And I need to be mindful of the things I say, but people that were suicidal, they're thriving. People that were in the midst of drug addiction, back at the gym, fit, physical, whatever physical ailments, go back to homeostasis. This is truly incredible. And it does not, I don't like to say healer, as somebody who brings the medicine, because this is some other thing that San Pedro taught me when I was doing San Pedro with Mike in his house, the idea of the hierarchy of shaman and student. He taught me that I needed to help eliminate that. So instead of me being the shaman, you being the student, I am just a conscious, loving witness. And I am here to help you hold space for your own healing. I don't give you shit. You work for it. And that's a lot more powerful when you work for your own stuff rather than when somebody gives it to you. You don't appreciate it as much. So as I'm doing this, it's been extremely transformative for everybody involved. Everybody knows this guy. Raise your hand if you do. Wim Hof. He's awesome. 100% inspiring. I just want to talk real quick about the difference between what he does and what I do. So my lineage is in through the nose, out through the mouth. What he's doing is activating the sympathetic nervous system. You learned that in school, fight or flight. That's why he's able to withstand cold, pain, X, Y, Z. What I do is activate the parasympathetic nervous system, relax, rejuvenate, and all of that. I don't know shit about liver function, yet my body does it on its own. That's kind of crazy. Like, I cannot think and talk to my body. The only way that you can actually go to your body's nervous system is through breath. That's the key that opens all those doors. So what we do here is it helps us unlock and release all four levels. What are these four levels? Physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. I'm not going to read them all. You can read, but I'm just going to point out a couple. Improves sleep, increases clarity and focus. This is something that helps you be more grounded, more alert, more in place. Most times in our society, we live on the neck up, and then a lot of times to the left hemisphere. Being dyslexic, ADHD, I'm on this side, and a lot of times I don't fit in. You can probably relate if you're here with me. So what we do here is it actually helps us achieve whole brain thinking. The corpus callosum, which is the little cloth in between the hemispheres, becomes stronger when you meditate and when you do breath work, and then you're able to create more connections. Obviously, delivers more oxygen to the body. Everybody knows the benefits of that. Emotional, it processes all ranges of emotion with safety. So especially as men, you know, we're told to toughen up and don't express your feelings and this and that, but that just creates a lot more toxicity. It's like when you can't poop, you're full of shit. So this is the same thing with bad feelings, bad emotions. You just become a not very pleasant person. So the idea is not to shove down the feelings, but to feel them all. Now the difference is you don't need to express them. There's a big, big, big difference. So I think to be fully human, to have full range of your humanness, you have to feel all your emotions. And they teach you a lot. Another thing that Bill Harris taught me was affect labeling. What does that mean? When you are in an argument with somebody and you feel anger, a lot of times you just react. Brah. But what takes you from that to consciousness is just 1 second of introspection, and you can just name your emotion. When you do that, you say, I am angry. That takes it down a couple of notches. But I want to take it further. Instead, you can say, I feel anger. You're no longer anger. That separates you from the emotion. Now you're the human feeling, which is your role. That's what's supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be anger, you know? Okay, I'm being guided to share something that I've never told. because of this work, there's a lot of attacks. Physical threats and also spiritual ones. And I've been dealing with some, and you're gonna think I'm crazy, but sometimes my nervous system just gets attacked, and then I start having a blast of thoughts and emotions, like horrible, you know, oh, dying here, kill, like somebody's gonna die there, like, you know, this person is angry, and I'm like, what is happening? So remembering, and then my heart rate goes up. So I was noticing that a lot of times people, when they react in these ways, that's not even them. That's the spirits of whatever emotion going through them, and then they believe it as theirs. So as I have gotten better with me holding space for myself on breath work, I just stop, breathe, let my nervous system do its thing, and see where that comes from. So I want to invite you to do that. You know, that's a thing you can take. Don't believe your thoughts. Because even though they come from your head, who's talking and who's listening? That's trippy to me, right? So stop, stand back, see who is speaking, see who's listening, and then make your decisions there. So, oh yeah, I really like this one. Nowhere to hide. A lot of times in plant medicine, you get lost with all the wonderful things that you see. and then you forget about self-responsibility of healing. With breathwork, there's nowhere to hide. It's very safe. It's not like ayahuasca. The way I describe ayahuasca is like an angry grandma that makes you clean up your room. But at the end, she gives you cookies. Right? And the way I describe San Pedro is he's a very, very old grandpa that walks you around, holds you by the hand, shows you everywhere. And then you actually think that you came up with all of these wonderful discoveries. He's like so egoless, if you will, right? And then you're like, shit, I know all these things. And he's like, of course, of course. So mushrooms is something that I've been getting deeper into lately. I didn't used to like them as much because they felt dark, but I think now my understanding is I just wasn't ready for them. They have been so powerfully amazing. And as a joke, legally, I help people with microdosing too. That's a joke. And man, helping them change even their facial expressions. They go from anger, despair, whatever other emotions that are not positive, into understanding that that's not them. That's something else that they're being carrying. And the little voice in your head that you hear, most times that's your parents. So you have to really realize when you're being chastised by yourself, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be. Who is that? You know? So a really cool thing that Bill Harris taught me about it, if it's a, he called it not bad and good. He called it resourceful and unresourceful. If it's a resourceful strategy, keep it. If it's an unresourceful strategy, close your eyes and see where it's at in your field of vision. A lot of times it's closer to the center. Move that voice out here. Or out here down below, and change its voice to like goofy. And then it loses all its power. It's so powerful. So breathwork is something that gently keeps you where you need to be so you can learn all of these things and make you aware again of who you are. I can't move it. Thank you. Mental clarity, deeper wisdom. You can access your limbic brain. This is, I really get excited about this one. So when you go to therapy and speak to somebody and you feel like you're just paying $100 an hour to talk and you should just do it with a friend, well, actually, there's partial truth to that. But if the therapist is worth his or her salt, she knows how to channel you. And what you're doing, what healing means, healing is an event that was traumatic that stays in your limbic system. As you know, we have three parts of our brain. The limbic system has no words, it's just emotions. So as you're talking, what you're doing is transferring that emotion from the limbic brain to the neocortex. Now it has words, now you know, you can describe it. The minute that you're able to do that, you're able to talk about it as if it wasn't even you. That is what healing means. So don't shit on psychologists. The spiritual, I mean, we've been talking about it this whole time. I really like the idea that it supports a new paradigm of sovereignty. What does that even mean? A lot of times, we delegate our ability to touch the divine because we don't feel like we know. So we trust a priest, we trust who fill in the blank, for them to give us the truth, and then we just follow it. With breathwork, you're able to, so the way I explain this, when you rely on somebody else, it's like, do you remember dial-up internet? That's kind of what that is. Once you're able to connect with yourself and breathwork, it's like fiber optic. Instant, continuous connection. And it's extremely powerful. It's coming. Yay. So what is breathwork? It helps us recalibrate for personal and planetary healing. This is huge. This is absolutely huge. It's trauma-informed, as I was telling you. I just explained what trauma is, and I explained the cycle of stress. So we're going deep under the hood And so a lot of times that can be painful. You know, one of the main things that I've learned is 95% of people that do plant medicine or breath work, the first 1 to 3 sessions are basically childhood trauma that they're healing. And one of my teachers, the way she said it was, before anything new can come in, old has to leave, because you're a finite vessel. So you get rid of all of that pain, suffering, and you keep it as experience, wisdom. So what is the technique? As a pranayama instructor too, you know, there's difference in pranayama, some Buddhist breath, you know, that the Marines use now, which is the square, inhale, pause, exhale, pause. And then you take it as many seconds as you can. That transforms you. What we do is circular breath. There is no pause, and you make a wave basically with your belly. So you inhale, and this is actually hard for a lot of people. You inhale, and in our society, we want to look skinny. So when we breathe, we don't want to, you know? So here is the opposite. We invite you to breathe here like babies do. You've seen babies breathing? They don't care. They just inflate their belly. That's basically the cycle. You do that for an hour. It's called breath work for a reason. It's a good workout. So, tetany, that's a really good one. When I was doing ayahuasca, San Pedro, and all of that, learning under a couple of my friends, there were times that some people, their hands did this. I'm pretty sure you've seen it. That's called like tetany. But anyway, people will think sometimes that they're evil spirits attacking the person. So they will come with sage and the wave whatever things and try to get rid of it. When I was doing my breathwork certification, Kaya said, oh, that's tetany. She had a name for it. And she said, what that means is that you've been breathing so much that you're increasing the oxygen in your body. Your body's not used to it, because what that is doing is making your body more alkaline. Okay, wow. Like, that's incredible. I do a monthly breathwork with a group of, for a guy that also does microdosing. And he wanted to test my claim. So he sent everybody that buys the microdosing from him that does breathwork, pH strips. So they were doing pH strips from their pee or saliva before breathwork and after breathwork, and unequivocally, everybody got more alkaline. He did a free service for me. That was amazing. Spectrum of emotional release, somatic unwinding, we talked about it. Encouraging free form. We mentioned about the, if you need to cry, cry. If you need to laugh, laugh. But also your body. As long as you don't hurt yourself, you're welcome to do it, or others. You're welcome to do anything. At some point, breathwork just took over, and I was doing full locust with both legs, and I was up in the air almost like 90 degrees. Like, this is amazing. You just are doing like asanas automatically. So this is something that if you let it, it can be extremely transformative. So I find it funny, maybe you don't. I was the only boy at the in Montecitos, California. And you know, the way that women think is beautiful, I love it. But nobody took notes, everybody was just talking. And then I was like, I am so ADHD that if I don't see it in paper, it doesn't mean anything to me. So I took all the notes. And basically what breathwork is a bell curve. And we do intro, maybe a song, because I create also a sonic container that takes you, you know, when you do plant medicine, the shaman's doing something, right? So I do a little bit of that, but mostly I have a playlist. And then there's a crescendo, and then the apex, and then diminuendo, then shavasana, and then transition. And then intentional BPM related to the stage of where we're at. Sometimes, some people start seeing baby Jesus at the 7-minute mark. Sometimes people don't see anything until shavasana, like 50 minutes in, and then they stop the breathwork and it hits them like a Mack truck. That's why I give them a 10-minute shavasana at the end. You need it. And then the transition, you know, I tell them whatever you need in this moment, whether it's journaling, yoga, stretching, maybe a longer shavasana, whatever you need, do it. And it is extremely transformative. It's one of those things that you get out of breath work what you put into breath work 10 times. So process and integration, it helps you change your patterns. And I love this. Sometimes the journey is the easy part. When you're doing plant medicine, for as hard as that can be, sometimes that's the easy part. The hard part is to go back to your life and actually change shit. I have a few friends that, you know, they're like, oh, I need to go with Deva again in Austin to do ayahuasca because I'm still dealing with this. I'm like, no, bro. You need to integrate. Look at your notes. See what you, like, if it's the same message, bro, it's not a deficiency of teaching plants. You have to find healthy outlets to express your emotions. What does that mean? It depends per person and time. You know, some people like coloring books. I have a gym in my backyard and I punch the bag or I lift weights or work. I actually really love working. Whatever it is that you do, just do it consciously. That's the secret, you know? Don't just follow something that you think you need to do. Bill Harris, as far as doing it consciously, he told me that somebody asked Maharaja, how can I stop smoking? And his answer was, smoke consciously. And it's like, what? That's not what you would expect, right? So if you actually sit down and ground and do it and see what it's doing, you would stop. That's big. So contraindications, because there are, the training is really like strong with this. Not everybody can do this. And, you know, it's kind of similar to teaching plants. It's a very tiny list that you can see here. Obviously, I have ADHD and I do this. But for the most part, a lot of these things have to do with pressure. Like glaucoma, that's the pressure in your eyes. You don't want to go blind. Aneurysms, recent surgeries, epilepsy. You know, the more stronger ones are schizophrenia, psychiatric conditions. And I will tell you, one time we were in Austin and then this lady just, it seemed like she got possessed. And there were like four dudes trying to hold her. And like even her tongue was like, that was pretty scary. We're like, damn. So apparently she had some psychiatric conditions. So if you have that, we invite you to not do it. I've been told that I only have a couple of minutes. So use emotions as guides. We talked about affect labeling. A lot of times we feel like we're not allowed to express, but do it in a conscious way. So what? You know, one of my I live in Texas, the CEO of TXU, Mike Blevins, is my friend. Because I'm also a corporate trainer, I do serve in leadership. And he at the end of every presentation, he's like, well, so what? Like, we just spend thousands of dollars here and everybody, so what? What are you going to do with it, right? So when we first wake up, a lot of times we feel angry. So what? Now, I was an angry anarchist when I first woke up, like in 2010, 2009. You know, troops are welfare whores and this and that. You feel, I used to go, you know, the only route I knew, I got into politics with the Libertarian Party because I thought that was the way. You know, I felt like the world was in shambles and I needed to do something. And then I saw how the Libertarian Party got hijacked by the Tea Party. And I was like, fuck, we don't have any way, right? And then is when we came to this. So the idea is the healer's first job is to control what's inside here, not outside. So what your eyes see is a reflection of what's here and here. So a lot of times if you think that life's pretty shitty, you have shitty thoughts. You have to change that. One really important thing that I learned is life doesn't get better or worse. It just becomes more complex. That's all it is. And you have to keep up with the complexity of life. My mom is 82. When she was born, there was not even TV. And now she has an iPhone and she FaceTimes with me with that. That's crazy, just in one lifetime, how much we've changed. So that's the testament, you know, it gets more complex. And there's still good things and wonderful things and painful things. I think I'm out of time. I will be around here if you have questions. And I do want to invite you to do breath work with me. I can only handle about 16 people at once. I went to Denver, and I did a little bit more than that, and at the end I was almost puking. It was tough. So what happens, the person that's holding ceremony, all the healing goes through their nervous system. And if there's a lot that's going on and more people than you can handle, it can break you. My girlfriend noticed, just grabbed me by the arm and got me walking around the lake, you know, to be able to give it to the lake, because that was tough. So 16, yes. 20, no. Unless I have helpers. And if there's anybody that is seasoned with shamanic healing, I will be happy to consider that. I don't think I have time for questions, but I'll be around. Thank you.
In 2020, as the World Economic Forum announced their vision of a Great Reset for humanity, the Freedom Saw Network responded by launching the Greater Reset, a 5-day worldwide activation focused on inspiring the people of the world to build an alternative vision for 2030 and beyond.
Our vision is one that respects individual liberty, decentralization, localization, and people-powered solutions over technocratic control.
Our first activation launched in January 2021 as hundreds gathered in Texas and Mexico and thousands tuned in online at the height of lockdowns. The Freedom Cell Network gathered once again in May 2021 for the Greater Reset expansion as we broaden the horizons of our movement.
In January 2022 and January 2023, we returned with integration and co-creation, rooting ourselves deeper by integrating the vast knowledge being shared and setting our intentions on co-creating the 2030 of our dreams.
Now, the Freedom Cell Network once again presents the Greater Reset 5 Manifestation in Morelia, Mexico, from January 17 through the 21st, 2024.
Join us for 5 days of community, solutions, celebration, music, education, and liberation. The Greater Reset 5 will include more than 40 top-notch speakers from around the world, live music from our conscious community, hands-on workshops, kids and family activities, and whatever else you can dream up.
Join us in Morelia in January 2024 so we can collaborate and build the parallel systems of the future. Join us for the next evolution of the Greater Reset Activation. Join us for the People's Resets.
Visit thegreaterreset.org to learn more.